Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
Well, if you have your Bibles with you this evening, please turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, we are going to be considering verses 17 through 19 this evening. I will be reading 17 through 21, the end of the chapter, for context. Let's go before the Lord once again in prayer. Father, we come before you now praying that you would work through your word, by your spirit in our hearts. Encourage us, Lord. Deepen our knowledge of you and your work, we pray. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable before your sight through Christ Jesus, our Lord. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 17, hear now the very word of God written for you and for me today. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Amen. Thus far the reading of his holy word. Well, congregation of the Lord, as a defendant stands before a judge, waiting the sentence for a crime they committed, there are many thoughts that may be going through their mind and emotions that they feel. Is the judge going to rule in my favor? Does the judge think I'm guilty? What is he going to say? Will he be merciful to me? Will he come down hard on me? And quite frankly, I don't want to go to jail. Worry and fear may be racing through them as they are concerned about what their future will hold. Others may stand listening through the ears of pride, unconcerned about the outcome. And still others stand prepared to accept the consequences of their actions. As Christians, we, like all men, will stand before the Lord Jesus, the righteous judge, on the day of judgment. And yet John teaches us more about the wonderful love of God, its work in us today, as well as that great day to come. As those who are the true children of God, the presence and fruit of God's perfected love in us will give us a unique experience different from those who don't belong to him. Remember also what John said in verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Now, as we considered last week, those whom God abides in are those who love one another. And those who belong to him also confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, isn't it awesome that John's picture of love isn't done yet? And thus far, in these two chapters, he has given us the imperative of love. He has taught us about the outworking of love with one another. And God has opened our understanding to knowing and seeing him through love. And this evening, John continues to instruct us on the perfection of love. And he does so by answering questions such as, what does a love that enjoys Christ look like? What isn't a part of perfect love? How should we describe this kind of love? And this evening, we will consider another mark of the true Christian, and that is our boldness before God. So look with me at verse 17, where he says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, when John says love has been perfected, in the Greek, has been perfected is one word that means that it has reached completion. This Greek word is in the perfect passive indicative form, which means that this perfection occurred in the past, but it has present day effects. And if you recall, John also spoke of this perfection, same Greek root word, in verse 12 of this chapter, where he spoke of the evidence of such love being seen in our love for the brethren. Now, interesting, in verse 12, John spoke of the love being perfected in us. Here, in verse 17, he speaks of such love being perfected among us, or with us. The maturity of love occurs in each of our hearts and is seen in our interactions with one another. So the mark of the true Christian is this that he points to tonight. It's boldness. Literally, confidence before God. Now, it would be foolish, on the one hand, to stand before God on our own merits, and yet there are many in this world who do that and will. We know that our confidence is only because of Jesus and his merit and mediation. This confidence is important and valuable because without it, we would be miserable. And so indeed, praise the Lord that we can have such boldness. One thing that I want you to see today is that this boldness is a fruit and blessing of the perfection of love that comes from God. And it's coupled with the reason for it. The writer to the Hebrews spoke of such boldness in regards to our approaching the throne of grace. We're well familiar with those passages, aren't we? In Hebrews chapter 4, for example, verses 14 through 16, we read there, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace for help in time of need. So Jesus is our high priest who has done what no other high priest could do. He wasn't held by death so that another priest would succeed him. He is the eternal high priest who not only defeated death, rose from the dead, but also passed through the heavens in his ascension. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And because of these truths here, the writer tells us, God calls us to come boldly. Hebrews chapter 10, about six chapters later, verses 19 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. There's some important truth for us to consider here. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, note verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so we see that Jesus gave himself as the only sacrifice that truly paid for sin. And therefore, with boldness, we are to draw near in full assurance to God. We are to hold fast our confession. We are to continue trusting in the faithfulness of God and his promises to us. We are to stir up love and good works in one another. And now think about it. Because we are in Christ, we are those who can happily stand before Jesus on that day. Not with heads hanging with shame and guilt, nor with worry filling our hearts, but rather with lifted heads as he lifts our heads, looking him in the face and knowing that he is our friend. He is our elder brother. He is our advocate, the one who is even interceding for us now, and knowing that he loves us. This is a familial boldness as we are in covenant relationship with the judge. And we have boldness towards Christ because of our conformity to him. And therefore, we don't dread the day. We anticipate the day. We can't wait to be with our Father and with the Lord Jesus and with the Spirit forever. And so John goes on to give the reason that love has been made perfect or mature. He says, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, what does this mean? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Just as Jesus is dearly loved as God's only begotten Son, seated at his right hand in heaven, even so are we dearly loved as God's adopted sons and daughters by grace here on earth. Beloved, do you want to know how much God loves you? Look to the Son of God in heaven. How much does God love him? Your standing before God as his adopted child is as secure as Christ standing before God as his only begotten Son. John Calvin helpfully said this, what God then in heaven is, such he bids us to be in this world, in order that we may be deemed his children, for the image of God, when it appears in us, is as it were the seal of his adoption. We have boldness towards Christ because of our conformity to him. And remember Paul's words to Ephesus that we considered this morning in Ephesians 2, verses 5 through 7. That even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Beloved, legally, Jesus represented us on the cross. He was us. And therefore, when he died, we died. When he rose, we rose. When he sat down at the Father's right hand, we are co-seated with him even now. And how can our salvation be any more secure? How can we be more confident than this as we stand before him on the day of judgment? That's something important to consider. For we have, and we should have, he calls us to have great boldness, and we should have great confidence because of who we are united to Christ. And so we see the maturity of this love as we see and understand more and more of this confidence. But John says there's more to this love. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, he says. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Again, beloved, keep this day of judgment in your view as we're considering this verse, as we consider what is involved in fear and what is not a part of love, that being fear. So there is an enemy to this holy confidence, an enslaving and cowering, tormenting fear. This is true misery, isn't it? It's a fear that has no place in the hearts of God's people. But sadly, we at times are well acquainted with it, aren't we? Those moments when we are frozen, unable to make decisions, unable to move forward in the directions that we need to, sometimes we excuse or rationalize its presence. I'm not a fearful person. We may tell ourselves or we may tell our friends or loved ones. I don't struggle with it that often. But if we're honest, it's there. Certainly there is a holy fear of the Lord, that fear that must be daily practiced and maintained in our lives, that awe and reverence rightly due to God. However, this cowering fear is not a godly fear. Whereas a godly fear draws us closer to Jesus, this slavish, cowering fear drives us away from Jesus. And that's important to understand. Whereas godly fear draws us closer to Jesus, this slavish and cowering fear drives us away from him. And the fear that is spoken of here is opposite and against the familial boldness before God that John teaches us about. This is a fear that enslaves the child of God with an image of God as a severe judge who is just waiting to punish him on the last day. It is a paralyzing fear. Instead of enjoying freedom and love with our Father, one who lives in this kind of fear lives in bondage, estranged from the Father. And when this fear overshadows us, then all we can see is what we are losing. We don't enjoy a mature love for Christ to see all that we have in Christ and are truly gaining. And John goes on to say that there is a remedy for this fear, doesn't he? And what is that remedy? Look at that verse. The remedy is perfect love. It's not that you get rid of fear and put love in its place, but notice, perfect love casts it out. Perfect love casts it out. Literally, it throws it out. And why is that? Because there is torment in fear, John says. And there is no fear in love. How great is the grace of our God, my friends. I encourage you to meditate on the truth that John presses in here. For it is truly miserable to suffer continual torments. And considering that, there is nothing more that we desire than to present ourselves before God with a quiet conscience and a calm mind. And so again, God returns us to the importance of the presence of his mature and complete love in our hearts. For those who are or have been in bondage to fear, now is the time to grow in your knowledge of God's love, your knowledge of fear having no place in love, as well as what love does with fear. We won't be fearful in this way. If our eyes are on Jesus and we continue to focus and grow in understanding the perfection of his love in us. But then notice in verse 19, God teaches us about how we can love. We love him because he first loved us. Such a wonderful verse. One that may come to our minds often. One that needs to come to our minds more often. We need to dwell on it. Remember what John said in verse 10 of this chapter. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And so where does our love begin? It begins with God, the source and definition of love. It begins with God extending his love to us in Christ. And we see it in every piece of his pursuit of us. Every piece of his pursuit of us is fueled and motivated by love. Matthew Henry said this, "The divine love stamped love upon our souls." It's a good way to think about it. The divine love stamped love upon our souls. And really, my friends, this is the only way it can be. You know, it's so wonderful in many ways. I know most weeks I, at some point, make some connection or reference between what we're looking at in 1 John and Ephesians. And they do have some wonderful complements with each other in the messages that Paul and John are communicating. But really, I mean, even as we consider Ephesians, right? Even as we consider what John has been saying, this is the only way it can be for dead sinners to have nothing inside and no love to give apart from God, bringing us to new life in Christ, giving us his Spirit, who then works the fear-free fruit of love in us, that we may love him and others in return. It's the only way it can be, to God's praise and glory. And we take joy in this, that we love him because he first loved us. It's not something that we're upset about, that we're somehow disappointed with, if we're thinking about it rightly. We're thankful that he is working in us out of his great love, and that we in return love him. And we need to do more and more. We need to grow more and more in that every day. Such a beautiful picture that this brings to conclusion in John's words here in this chapter about this picture of love. The perfection of love. So I'll leave you with this. Be bold before God with a godly confidence. Scripture teaches us that we are to walk humbly with our God. Micah 6:8. We are to humble ourselves before him, that in due time he will exalt us. 1 Peter 5:6. Remember that humility and godly confidence, humility and this godly boldness, don't contradict. They don't contradict. We can be both humble, which we must, and confident before the Lord, which we also must, as we are in Christ. But also, examine your heart. Is ungodly fear present in you? Or are you growing in your knowledge, insight, and experience of the love of God in your life that casts out such fear? I would also encourage you to pray for those who are lost in this way, knowing that they have such fear of torment. For that will be their end. But we pray that God would be pleased through the proclamation of the gospel and by his grace, that he will save those who are lost, that he will call his elect to himself. And we know he will. But I pray that you will grow in your knowledge and insight and your experience of the love of God in your life that casts out such fear, if that were to be a temptation of yours or a wrestle of yours. For as you are in Christ, Fear has no place in perfect love. But finally, how do you see Jesus? When you consider his return on the last day, what thoughts and emotions arise within you? Do you see Jesus as a severe and a harsh judge toward you, waiting to punish you and to drive you into the ground? Or do you see him to be the just judge who died for you and is faithful in his love for you, is faithful and just to forgive you and has forgiven you? Do you see him as the one who says, "Do not be afraid"? And he wholeheartedly means that. Do not be afraid. And come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is the approach of our Savior. That is the approach of the just judge towards you, his children. We're further encouraged by passages and truths like, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So walk with joy and confidence in this truth. And walk loving your Savior. For his body was broken and his blood was shed for you out of great love. Out of abundant love that you can't even begin to understand and grasp. But walk in joy and have confidence and anticipation on that day, because he is coming again. And he is coming to judge the world. He is coming to take us home. And as he looks at us on that day, he knows you. He knows what he has done for you. And he sees his righteousness that has been imputed to you. And that is a wonderful thing. So walk with joy and confidence in this truth. For it's true now, and it will be true in the day of judgment. Amen. Praise God for his word.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.